Karina, Karina, yeah, where you've been so long.
Welcome back to the John Williams Show with me, Rick Hogan, sitting in for another 50 minutes or so. That, of course, is the voice of Bob Dylan, a voice that has not haunted Daniel Wolfe, but certainly influenced him. Daniel's on the phone to talk about his new book, which is a fascinating, provocative book called Grown Up Anger, The Connected Mysteries of Bob Dylan, Woody Guthrie, and the Calumet Massacre of 1913. Daniel, this is a remarkable book, so take that as a compliment, will you?
I will, Rick. Thank you. I think haunted is appropriate.
Yeah. You write, I mean, the book begins, I think the whole beginning of the book, Once Upon a Time, when you write, I was 13 and angry. You could start elsewhere, but you were 13 and angry, and you came upon Bob Dylan.
Yeah, I heard Like a Rolling Stone over the radio, and I went, oh, that's the truth. Mm-hmm. Somebody's finally telling the truth.
Yeah.
How nice.
Yeah. And is it, so he is, and you he remained incredible deep influence on you. And then, I mean, it's very interesting, Daniel. You tell me how the whole connection happens. I don't want to give away too much in the book, but all of a sudden, I mean, a lot has been written about Dylan, and a lot of people know, well, he himself was deeply influenced by the life and times and music and thought of Woody Guthrie. How did you make the connection between the two of them?
Well, first of all, Rick, we have to go back to the day when not all music in the world was accessible.
Yeah, exactly.
And you went through record racks to try to find...
That's right. There were record stores. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, they had some things and they didn't have others. So I heard Like a Rolling Stone. I thought, well, that guy's telling the truth, and he's as angry as I am. Who is he? And I didn't know, and I went to my record racks and eventually listened to the albums that had made before, including his first one.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a song on it called Song to Woody. And it made it clear that one of his major influences was Woody Guthrie.
Did you at that time, Daniel Wolfe, know anything about Woody Guthrie when you were 13?
I knew This Land Is Your Land.
Well, duh. Yeah. Everybody,
I knew
yeah.
Driving in My Car, someone had sung that to me. So I knew a little bit about him. I had no idea if he was alive or dead. So I sort of went to find him, and that was much more difficult than finding Dylan. There were almost no Woody Guthrie records available at the time. He was never a big seller. He was just a major influence. What I found instead was his son Arlo Guthrie's records,
mm-hmm.
making a name then. And on one of those records, there was a song by Woody, by his father, called 1913 Massacre. And I listened to it, and I thought, that's a great song, and why is it so familiar?
Yeah.
And it turned out that the melody of that was what Dylan had borrowed or stolen,
mm-hmm.
however you want to put it, for his song to Woody. And I thought, by now I'm farther on in my teens, I thought, here's a clue. This is a mystery, and here's a clue.
Yeah.
These two songs are connected. And then I went to try to find out not only about those two men, but about what this thing called the 1913 massacre was.
Yeah. The interesting thing, and you pointed out in your fascinating book, Grown Up Anger, is that Woody Guthrie, in writing 1913 Massacre, he borrowed the melody from a 17th century English ballad called To Hear the Nightingale Sing. I mean, it was not... These two guys, Guthrie and Dylan, were not loath to borrow good stuff, were they?
No. New words to old music. That was the motto. And there were a couple of reasons for it, I think. One was, especially when you were writing political music, it helped if people knew the melody or the melody had been proven to be a good one that attracted people. And you could then know that your audience was kind of going to follow with you. The person who was famous for doing that was Joe Hill,
sure.
who was the old
sure.
wobbly songwriter, who was the kind of predecessor of Guthrie's. And it came from the days when the Wobblies, the IWW, were organizing out west, and the Salvation Army used to show up and sing their hymns and drown out the union organizing.
Yeah.
And the Wobblies went back to their meeting place and said, well, let's just take the melodies to their hymns and write our words to them, and then we'll be able to drown them out. And Joe Hill was really good at this.
The when you were finally led to that, and this is the seed of your remarkable book, Grown Up Anger, the 1913 massacre, about which I frankly knew nothing, is a relatively unknown chapter in the ongoing, I think, ongoing battle between labor and industry. When you came upon that, and you had to do, Daniel Wolfe, I would have to say, some considerable research to get that whole story, how horrifying was it for you? And we'll get to, we have to take a break in a minute or two, but I want you to detail that entire horrific adventure. But how horrifying was it for you when you really discovered what that was all about?
Well, Rick, at the beginning, it wasn't horrifying at all. At the beginning, I thought, ah, another one of these labor stories.
Yeah.
Where there are a bunch of people, and, you know, maybe the old union leaders just kind of made this up.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it wasn't really so bad, I sort of thought, well, you know, this is another story like the Ludlow Massacre or any number of ones, the Shirtwaist Factory, where you kind of go, well, something bad happened.
Yeah, the Haymarket Riot here, yeah.
Yeah, and as I got deeper into it, it got more and more horrifying, and when I finally went there, I began to kind of understand it.
Well, and that is the thread that you weave through this entire book, Grown Up Anger, The Connected Mysteries of Bob Dylan, Woody Guthrie, and the Calumet Massacre of 1913, and you unravel in such a compelling, engaging, and, you know, I'm going to say, Daniel Wolfe, because you're a writer, in a very also entertaining way, this book grabs you and does not let you go. And it entertains you in a meaningful kind of way. I hope you take that as a bit of praise. That's Bob Dylan playing the harmonica, as he is wont to do. Bob Dylan, a huge influence in the life of author Daniel Wolfe, and a... one of the main threads in his latest book, Grown Up Anger, The Connected Mysteries of Bob Dylan, Woody Guthrie, and the Calumet Massacre of 1913. This is a book of cultural importance. This is a book about music and activism and labor and management. And Daniel, if I might, I want to read the beginning of one chapter where you write that after writing 1913 Massacre, Woody Guthrie explained why he did so. Quote, "Any event which takes away the lives of human beings, I try to write a song about what caused it to happen and how we can all try to keep such a thing from happening again." That is a remarkable quote. What happened, Daniel Wolfe?
So there was a copper strike in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan in 1913, which was prompted by a number of the usual issues, including low wages and really dangerous conditions. And essentially, management had won. It had gone on for a few months and through the summer. And the key was that once winter came and it got cold, the miners couldn't hold out without a regular wage. So as what was kind of the denouement, the finale of this strike, they had a Christmas party for their kids to try to bolster a little bit of their feelings. And the place was packed, and they were handing out what presents they could. And a guy walked in and shouted fire. Mm. And there was a panic. And there ended up being 73 people killed, most of them smothered to death on the stairs as they tried to get out of the place. There was no fire. And there was never anybody found guilty of having called fire.
Yeah. This, it just, and you bring it back in a palpable kind of sense here. The notion, one of the important things about your book, I think, is it kind of reminds people of the importance of, I think, and tell me I'm making too much of this, Daniel, of unions and activism and the meaning of it all. You have a wonderful quote from Karen Lewis, who's the head of the Chicago Teachers Union, in the book. This has struck. This book has struck a chord with a certain segment of our society, has it not?
I think so. I hope so. And I think you're absolutely right. I think it's about organizing, and in the old sense, in the 1913 sense, and I try to track it right up until today, and I think in the future, when it may not be the old unions we know about, but there will be some way that the people who are getting screwed
yeah.
will figure out a way to get together.
What do you think about, I know you have written extensively about music, and one of my favorite books of yours is You Send Me the Life and Times of Sam Cooke. What do you think when you look at guys like Woody Guthrie and Dylan, maybe the younger Dylan more so than the older Nobel Prize winning Dylan, the musical landscape now, it seems to me, and please tell me I'm wrong, that it's lacking these kinds of angry voices.
You're wrong.
Good. Good, good, good. I just am not listening enough. I know you do.
I think you start with someone like Kendrick Lamar,
mm-hmm.
who's a rapper who's making, I think, astonishing music. There's been rap in general for the last 30 years has been incredibly vocal and perceptive about the issues that turned into Black Lives Matter.
Yeah, yeah.
There are a bunch of people who are trying to keep what we'd call the folk tradition or the singer-songwriter tradition alive. Jimmy LaFave, who just died down in Austin, Texas, was kind of an amazing interpreter and singer of those songs. You know, I think people are trying. I mean, you know, it doesn't happen the way it happened before. It happens in a new way, and it doesn't happen all on its own.
Yeah.
You need the movement. So there's the labor movement of the 30s that Guthrie was part of, and there was the 60s rebellion that Dylan was part of. We kind of don't have that movement right now, but there are people fighting and resisting and making, I think, some pretty great music.
Yeah, I'm so glad. I am so, so glad to hear that. You're going to be at Printer's Row talking about this book and your others. The last time we talked, I wonder if we could spend the last 2 minutes of this. Again, Daniel Wolfe's latest book is Grown Up Anger, The Connected Mysteries of Bob Dylan, Woody Guthrie, and the Calumet Massacre of 1913, and Harper's imprint book. And it's fascinating on a dozen different levels. One of my favorite books of yours, Daniel, if you could give it, I hate, this is such a sad thing to do, give it 3 minutes of your best talk, is How Lincoln Learned to Read, 12 Great Americans and the Educations That Made Them, is just as provocative, given the current state of education in America, as any book I can remember reading.
Well, thank you. Yeah, that was a book that came out of my activism, actually.
Yeah.
Which is, when my kids were in school, I was busy kind of organizing an alternative PTA. And we kept thinking, you know, a lot of this school stuff seems like just rote. This was before No Child Left Behind.
Yeah.
Before there was this much testing. So, we were sort of complaining when we got all done, and I hope we made some changes, but essentially the system stayed the same. I thought, you know, it'd be interesting to look at the history of American education through the people we revere.
Right.
Heroes,
right.
And how they learned what they needed to know. And so I went back and I started with Ben Franklin and I ended with Elvis Presley, because what can you say after Elvis Presley?
Yeah,
right?
Those are great bookends for any kind of book anyway. Start with Ben Franklin and end with Elvis Presley.
And I looked at from sort of 0 to 18 how they themselves said they learned the stuff that really mattered to them.
Yeah.
And some of it was in school. An awful lot of it wasn't.
Right.
But it was. I hope it gave some insight into how people learn in general. And a lot of it was hands-on solving of problems. You know, from Abraham Lincoln to Abigail Adams, they tended to have something they needed to know because they had this issue in front of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I watched my kids, and I thought of my own education, and I thought, you know, that's really how I learned, and I wonder how you incorporate that into an educational system.
Yeah, it's a wonderful, wonderful, provocative book that I wish had changed the course of American education, but it may still. Daniel Wolfe's latest book, Grown Up Anger, The Connected Mysteries of Bob Dylan, Woody Guthrie, and the Calumet Massacre of 1913. Daniel will be at the Printers Row Lit Fest. Just go to printersrowlitfest.org and find him and buy the book. Daniel, I'm going to come find you and meet you face to face.
Great. I'm looking forward to it. Thanks very much.
An incredible read. Thank you so much, so much. We'll be back in a couple minutes, and then we will have in studio Dave Hoekstra.